you never know where God is going to give you a thought from. And my thought come earlier this week than normal for me. And it come, I guess, in a kind of a strange way. But it come nonetheless. And I've tried to study on it, not overstudy. But it may not be very long at all. I don't know, but I want the Lord's will to be done.
Amen.
The scriptures we're going to read is read a lot this time of year. A couple of weeks from now, be read a whole lot. But I'm going to read from the second chapter of Luke, due with the birth of Christ. And y'all pray for us, and then I'll tell you here in a minute after we do a reading lesson and our text, kind of where our thought come from and how it come about. And I pray that it'll be a little help to us. It says it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And the taxing was first made with Cyrenius, was the governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went from Galilee out of the city unto Nazareth, into Judah, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David. And to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in the manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding and in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came unto them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were so afraid. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you: you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, laying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God, the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill towards men." And that's reading down to the 14th verse with the mistakes we made. And for a text, we want to come over here and take out of the 8th chapter of Matthew. And Jesus said this. I've quoted it several times along the time, but we want to read it and get it exactly like it says it in the 8th chapter of Matthew in verse 20. And he said, "And Jesus saith unto them, Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have a nest, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head." And our thought, like I said, come, I guess, in a different way. Every year we have a supper, about usually 2 to 3 weeks before Christmas. And we'll feed the kids and the grandkids, and they'll come, and Sheila will get the tree out, and she'll put the tree together that day. She's got where she gets one of those artificial trees, and she'll put it together that day as she cooks the supper. And that night, it's a big deal for them. They put the ornaments on the tree, and the kids, our daughters, they've had, from the time they was just little, they got different ornaments, and they got their spot, they put them, and they fuss and argue who puts what where and everything. And over the years, the tree has just got full of stuff. I mean, absolutely full. And as they was putting it all together, I wasn't paying a whole lot of attention. They do that, and me and the men folks sitting and just sort of a watch, I guess. But at the end, after the tree had got completely full, a little brother, we call him Logan, he had, I guess, a little plastic-looking angel. And he had it in his hand, and he was standing there in front of the tree. And he looked up, and he said, "There's no room for Jesus."
And we all first kind of laughed just a little bit, but boy, I didn't laugh long. I was like Abraham and Sarah. It wasn't but a second. It wasn't. It was no funny about it no more for me. And I looked at the tree, how it was just full of everything. It was crammed full. And he stood there and he said, "And there's no room for Jesus." And then I began to think about how there's no room anymore for Jesus. And I'm not just talking about the tree. We'll get to more of that in just a little while. But I want you to realize the day and the time we live in. We have tried to take Jesus out of everything. And there seems to be, in our own lives, in our homes, in our own minds, in our hearts. I want you to know in our nation, in our schools, and everything to come along, there's no room for Jesus anymore. And then that began to bother me out of mouth of babes, how he was so serious. He wasn't joking, not even a little bit. He stood there in front of me with holding it in his hand, and he said, "There's no room for Jesus." And I began to think, we even got a Christmas card yesterday. And what I understand about this, I think it's something that's been around for years. I don't reckon it's worth. They tried to take Jesus out of Christmas, but they put, instead, "Have a Merry Christmas," they put Xmas. Listen to me. It seems like we don't even have time to put on our Christmas cards anymore. Christ, the Word. We can have Christmas rather than just Xmas. Listen to me. We don't have room for Jesus anymore. It just seems like we want to take him out of everything, and then we wonder where we're at and why are we at where we're at today. Me and Brother Barry was talking the other day on the phone, and listen to me. We're all concerned about this, how this election and how it's going and everything. We're concerned about the way it looks like it may be able to go, and honey, it concerns me. But I told Brother Barry, if it wasn't for people that call themselves Christians, that we wouldn't be in this spot today. It's no way anybody could win an office in this land unless some Christians voted for them. Now listen to me. When we begin to take Christ out of everything, they say don't put him in politics. That's our problem today. We've kept him out so long that people are dull to it. They don't realize what we're doing anymore. We've took Jesus out so long that it don't bother our conscience anymore. We've took him out of everything because there's no room for him anymore. He don't fit in anymore. He has no place to lay his head in our homes anymore. He has no place to rest in our, even in our buildings anymore. And what we come to worship in anymore. In our nation, in our schools. When I went up there to the jail to preach, every inmate come in there, I always had a Bible with them. They would furnish them a Bible, I guess, if they didn't have one. But they made sure they had a Bible. Listen to me. If we would let our children have a Bible and put Jesus back in the school and let there be room in the school for Jesus, they wouldn't need Bibles in the jails and the penitentiary because they would learn and do better. Hopefully they would learn of Him. Listen to me today. We took Jesus out of everything. There's no room for him anymore. He never had a place to fit in here. I realize that his home's not here. Mine ain't neither. But listen to me, he needs to fit in. He needs to fit in. We need to make room for Jesus. And I think about our homes, how we have took the Lord out of it. How televisions have replaced the Bible. How computers have replaced time that we sit down with our children and read the Bible. I want you to realize how mamas and daddies don't have room for Jesus anymore to teach your children. I've noticed lately a lot of people have been putting crosses up in front of their homes. And oh, boy, that's a blessing, because you're finding some room for Jesus in this holiday that we call Christmas. Listen, I'm all for Christmas. I'm all for giving. I'm all for gifts. I'm all for all of it. Listen to me, but we don't ever need to forget why we set this holiday aside. That's another thing. We can't call it Christmas no more. We got to call it a holiday because there ain't no room for Jesus in Christmas anymore. It's just got to be a holiday. Listen to me. We've took and hooked up all the space, and now we don't have Jesus nowhere. And now look at our nation. A separation of church and state. That was never meant for the church not to involve the state or be involved in the state. It was for the state to never be involved in the church. The state to never rule over the church like it was in England, how they made you rule, you had to worship one certain way. So it was made this way to where they can't get involved and tell us how to worship. But listen, we're to tell the state how to run their business by the word of God. That's how everything was set up. Everything in our nation is set up under the rules of this book. And I want you to know, because we don't have room for Jesus anymore. There's no room for him no more. We just go about doing what we want to anymore. And my thoughts and mine, as the week goes by, and I can't say about you, I don't know what goes through your mind. The sister Leanne Dotson is taking some kind of class, and I might be able to pass that class. She's asking me a lot of questions. I don't know if I can or not. You're out there, Leanne. I don't know. Can I pass that? Listen, she's through this week. Her asking me questions has helped me. It's kept my mind. Every once in a while, I get a text, and it'll be a biblical question, and that's kept my mind a little bit more on Jesus. You know what my mind stays on more? If I ain't careful, it stays on some chainsaw out yonder that I'm trying. Why can't I get that chainsaw running? It's getting far, and it's getting gas. It's getting air. Why ain't the thing, why won't it crank? I just don't really understand why this thing won't run. It consumes my time. There ain't no room for Jesus when and your mind and your thoughts are constantly consumed with this die. Why we'll get that die to you when we can. We're doing the best we can. Your thoughts get consumed, brother. Our minds come consumed with everything of the world. There's a little bitty Rudolph here, and there's a little bitty Sandy here. There's a little bit of Bells here. There's a little bit Ball here. There's a little bit of this there, a little bit of everything. And all of a sudden, you realize there ain't no room left for Jesus, because all of a sudden, everything else of this old world has cluttered up the tree so much that there's nothing left for him. That's our lives. That's what I saw in that tree. I saw that tree. Y'all remember that sermon I preached to you, our life in the junk drawer? And I talked about us finding the old junk drawer in the attic where we took out of our cabinets before. And when I got that drawer out, and I went through it, and it was mine in her life. Ever since we got married, there was little things in our tickets. There was everything. And you know what I found of Jesus in it? One little songbook. That's all I found of Jesus in that whole door. Listen to me. Our lives are filled with everything, and we've left no room for Jesus in them. Then we wonder why we're at. We're constantly consumed in everything in this world and what it has to offer. We've been so consumed in coronavirus when we forgot about Jesus. We've been consumed in election. If we ain't careful, we'll forget about Jesus. We get consumed in everyday things, and next thing you know, there's no room left for him. We're standing there saying, there's no room for Jesus. The listen to me, lost friend. Pay attention to me today. There's room in your heart for Jesus. You may have it consumed with everything else. You may think you have life by the heart, but listen to me, you need Jesus. Jesus told him in Matthew 12 in the 34th verse, he said, "You old generation of vipers, how can you be an evil? I speak good things. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things." Listen to me. Oh, I believe in all my heart. This is talking. And when he called them vipers, he was calling them children of God. I want you to know, if you'll go on and read, it says, but I say in you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall be given account and thereof in the day of judgment. Most people will stop there. But listen to me, it says, for by the words thou shalt be justified, and by the words thou shalt be condemned. Listen to me, it wasn't the words that condemned them, it was their hearts. But out of your evil treasure, he can bring nothing good. And out of a good treasure, he can bring nothing evil. It's like the tree. I want you to know, if you've been saved, there ain't no way that part of you can bring evil fruit. But listen to me, if it ain't been saved, your soul can't do nothing to please God. And I want you to know, the day your heart is full of trouble, it's got abundance of evil things, it's on the world. You're thinking about your boyfriend. You're thinking about your girlfriend. You're thinking about what you're going to do in this world and how you're going to fill your tree up. Listen to me. You better make some room for Jesus. You need room in that world, in that tree for Jesus. And it ain't for only those that are lost. For us that are saved. So many of us as hearts, Jordan, is full of so much stuff, we ain't left no room for Jesus. What about your life? I can tell you about mine. But what about yours? How much is left in your heart for Jesus? And then I begin to think about, I'm fixing to be done. I begin to think about all the tree was covered with. All the sin that was on the tree. But yet there was room for Jesus. What if he'd said, "There just ain't no room for me there"? Peter said it about as well as I heard it said. In the second chapter, in the first Peter, he said in the 24th verse, "Who his own self by our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead in sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. He that knew no sin become sin for us." I think about all the sin that was hung on the tree, and you say, "But Jesus was hung on the tree, not sin." Yeah, it was. In his body, Peter said right here plainly, "In his own self bear our sins in his own body." Listen to me. The sins of the world hung on the tree. But there was still room for Jesus. In the whole sinful world, I thank you, God. There was room for righteousness. There was room for purity. There was room for a lamb to be slain for our sins. So I don't know if you've got this yet or not. But that Christmas tree is our lives. Them ornaments that you take and that you've gathered all through your life. From the time me and her got married, we've got some from the time we married that we hang on a tree. I bet some of y'all do too. That you've kept on, hung on to down through the year. Every year we go to Walmart or the dollar store or something. She'll give a dollar or two for this or the kids or grandkids or somebody will make one at school and they'll bring it and we hang it on a tree. A little bit more. A little bit more. Everyone say, as her life goes on, it feels and feels and feels and feels and feels, and all of a sudden, one day there's no room left for Jesus. And a little bitty boy, just innocent as he could be, stands in front of the tree. And he holds up his little plastic angel. And he looks around us and he says, serious is not joking, says, there's no room left for Jesus. How much room have you left for Jesus in your life? How much room is it for him? You want things to get better? You reserve a spot in your life. Lost friend, listen to me. Things will never be better if you don't reserve a place in your heart for Jesus. You'll die without God and without His Son. You need to make room in all your plans that you have for life for Jesus. Make you some room there. The Bible says love Him with all your heart. He don't want a little room. He wants all of it. He wants the whole tree. He wants the whole thing. You love Him with all your heart, your mind, and your soul. In other words, your thoughts should be on Jesus. You want Him more than you want anything else. And you'll get Him. I promise you. When you want Him more than you want anything else in this whole world. Amen. Any shiny, glittery, sparkly, lighty, whatever it may be. When you want Him, He'll center your life more than you want life itself. Then He'll remind you that He was on a tree for you. I'd like to say this Christmas, let's make room for Jesus. But I pray this nation makes room for Jesus. I pray our homes make room for Jesus. I pray our nation, our schools make room for Jesus. I pray Hilltop Church makes room for Jesus. I pray your pastor makes room for Jesus. I pray these lost people, more than anything else, would make some room for Jesus. So today, while there's opportunity, remember He covered the tree with your sins. They was nailed to the tree. We couldn't keep the law. But it was nailed there to the tree. The veil was rent. There was room for Jesus. And because of that, there's room for you. So go to Jesus. Make some room for Him today. This altar's open. Seek Him today. The best present you will ever see is the gift of God, is Jesus Christ. Listen to me. You need Jesus. And I ain't simply saying you can receive Him. But I am saying He's the best gift you'll ever get. But if you don't open your heart up, you'll never get Him. So open your heart up today. I tell you what. You say, well, preacher, you have hurt my feelings today. A 5-year-old little boy hurt my feelings the other night. I first smiled like everybody else did. And then I didn't much more get that smile out. And my heart was broke. But he saw it and I didn't. He saw it. In our lives, we've left no room for him. You knew with what you could take. If you think you've made plenty of room for him in your life, and you've done good, I guess. You just loosened your old gallus to go on to heaven, I reckon. But if you're like me, maybe you'll go home today. Make a little bit more room for Jesus. Amen. I love you. It ain't nothing I want more for you. Just to make a little room. Just open a little heart up. And he'll come in it in such a way that he'll feel all of it. You might just want a little, but he'll give you a whole dose of it. And he'll change you. He changed me. It's under the blood. Praise his dear name. I'm not what I used to be. My life has been changed. Seek him. Wise can be found. Seek him. Be ashamed. Make a little spot there for Jesus. That's my message. If you've got a soul, I love you today. I love y'all. I appreciate our visitors. Amen. Y'all come back and be with us. Make some room for Jesus.